All right, good afternoon, everybody. Today is March 25th, 2026. Time right now is 3:32 p.m. And welcome to the OFL William S. Hart Incorporated Board of Directors regular meeting. And Susan, who else is here today?
Thank you, Harold. On the call for the board members, we have Harold Eggert and Veronica Alvarez. For the staff on call, we have myself, Susan Fisher, Nelani Santos, Melissa Bauer, Alex Salazar, Andy Tsai, Charles Pack, Greg Bordeaux, Ileana Kyriakos, Jeff Naslin, Maricela Frymark, Michael Leonesio, Ramon Burley Johnson, Stephanie Gray, Yelena Shapiro, and Candace Gardner. Is there anyone I missed? Okay, moving on to teleconference locations. Once I say your location, please stay present. The first is 27616 Newhall Ranch Road.
President.
Thank you. Next is 18824 Soledad Canyon Road.
Present.
Thank you. Next, 900 North Norma Street.
Present.
Thank you. Next, 320 North Halsted, present. And lastly, 17855 Maplehurst Place.
Present.
Thank you so much. Back to you, Harold.
All right, thank you very much. Moving on to public comment. Members of the public may address the board at regular meetings on agenda items or non-agenda items that are well within the subject matter jurisdiction of the board and at special meetings on agenda items only by using the call-in information set forth above. Speakers may be called in the order that requests are received or grouped by subject area. We ask that comments are limited to 2 minutes with no more than 15 minutes per single topic so that as many people as possible may be heard. By law, the board is allowed to take action only on items on the agenda. The board may, at its discretion, refer a matter to school staff or calendar the issue for future discussion. At this time, are there any members of the public on the line right now for the OFL William S. Hart Incorporated Board of Directors regular meeting? All right, hearing none, we will move on. Going on to item 4A, the consent agenda. All items listed under the consent agenda are considered by the board to be routine and consistent with approved policies and practices of the charter school. The board will be asked to approve all the consent agenda items by a single vote, unless requested by a board member to be discussed and considered for action separately. Veronica, did you get a chance to go over the consent agenda items for A1 through A5?
I did. So
All
move to
right.
approve.
All right, I'll go ahead and second. Veronica has moved. I will second. Can I get a roll call vote, Veronica?
Here, yes.
And I also vote aye. The consent agenda item 4A is approved. All right. All right, moving on to item 4B, the information items. OFL B1 William S. Hart Charter Update. Stephanie.
Hi, good afternoon, board members. I have the William S. Hart Charter update for March of 2026 for you. For charter statistics, enrollment at Canyon Country is 106 students, Santa Clarita, 100 students, online programs, 29 students, for a total enrollment of 235 students. For academics, the William S. Hart Charter completed its second RENSTAR testing administration and showed overall grade level equivalency growth of 1.43 grade levels in math and 1.2 grade levels in ELA. LPAC testing is underway, and the charter currently has tested 100% of all eligible students. We will monitor for newly enrolling students to make sure their testing is completed as well. SBAC testing is right around the corner, and the charter is providing its annual tech and testing course to ensure students feel adequately prepared for the test. Core course completion is at its highest rate ever at this point in the school year, with the average unit completion in each subject as follows: English 4.8 units, Math 4.1 units, Foreign Language 4.4 units, Science 5.3 units, and Social Science 5 units. For sports and pathways trips, students are having a great time playing soccer, and both teams won their first game of the season. The esports season is underway, and the students are very excited to be playing in the Rocket League again. The charter participated in a chess tournament, and the middle school team came in third place. Students had a great time on the Black History and Culture trip, and we are excited to be taking part in the ACE Music Experience. And we are currently interviewing students for the Japan Arts, Food, and Culture trip in June. For educational partner engagement, the Spring Educational Partner Survey is underway. We will be implementing feedback from our educational partners when developing the 26-27 school year LCAP. Open house will take place in each learning center this month, where parents and guardians will have an additional opportunity to provide the charter with feedback about our program. Students participated in a goal setting workshop, which focused on defining college and career goals. During career week, students learned about time management, work-life balance, and proper digital etiquette. Student Council hosted a week of love during the Valentine's Day week, which emphasized self-worth, kindness, and giving back to the community, with an event to support the local animal shelter. Are there any questions I can answer?
Not at this time.
No questions here.
Great. Thank you.
Thank you very much, Stephanie. Moving on to item B2, the OFL William S. Hart Student Handbook for Fiscal Year 2026-2027. Marcella.
Thank you, Harold. Good afternoon, everyone. It's good to see everyone today. I am going to be presenting the preview, if you will, of the OFL William S. Hart Student Handbook for the 26-27 school year. A little bit of a slip of a tongue. It's hard to believe that we're already looking into the future in this way. So if we scroll down past the cover page, I want to just provide a quick high-level overview of what we are looking at. But if you can just bear with me for one moment, I am trying to pull up on my screen my actual document to help guide me through the hundreds of pages that you're going to be seeing. Give me just one moment. Okay. So before you board is a copy of the preview draft of the OFL William S. Hart Student Handbook for the 2026-2027 fiscal year. This handbook is being shared as an information item and will be brought back as an action item in May, where we will present a final version of the handbook to the board and seek formal approval. But for today, because it's so long, we wanted to give the board an opportunity to review some of the proposed changes that we're looking at and preview like a high level overview of what changes we are hoping to see in the final draft. So year after year, we present the handbook to the board and share the changes and updates that we propose being made. And these changes include program updates, operational shifts, any legal updates. You know, the state is continuously making changes to either policies or annual notifications. And so the handbook serves as an opportunity for us to be able to provide those updates to our stakeholders, including our students, parents, and our legal guardians upon enrollment. It's a routine operational handbook that includes general school information, specific to like academics, student conduct, school safety, health and wellness. You'll also notice it has a pretty exhaustive list of curriculum, and then we also incorporate our academic calendar for the year. So this year, some of the proposed changes that we are making are embedding the 26-27 academic calendar that we will be asking the board to approve a little later in this meeting. We updated the uniform complaint procedures policy, and so that will be embedded into the handbook as well. We made some small and slight revisions to be compliant with Ed Code to the discipline policy and seizure policy, and then also added a required dual enrollment annual notification. And all of these are red lines, so the board can easily see which additions we are proposing being made when we seek the formal board approval in May. We embedded family safety and planning and emergency contact information, which is a requirement of AB 495. That's the immigration enforcement bill that I'll be talking a little bit more in depth later on in today's meeting, but we incorporated the required notification. We also added the notification specific to California College Guidance Initiative, CCGI, which is an annual notification that we are required to notify our families of, and so that has been embedded. This year, in fact, in January 1st, there was a new bill, AB 1369, which basically requires LEAs to allow its students to wear cultural and religious significant adornment at graduation. And so we included notification to our families specific to that bill. And then we also updated the FERPA language, which is also a requirement of AB 495. There were some changes there, and so we incorporated the annual notification. And so thank you, board, for the opportunity to share the handbook with you. This concludes my overview, my presentation of some of the changes that we are making. If the board has any recommendations or any feedback for me, I'd be happy to take that back and then incorporate that into the final draft that we ask for approval in May.
I have nothing on my side here. That's very well put together. Thank you.
Thank you. Thank you. Great. Well, then you'll see it again in May. Thank you, guys.
Excellent. All right. Moving on to item B3, the OFL William S. Hart financial update. Alex.
Great. This is a financial update for OFL William S. Hart as of the January 2026 close. We'll wait for the presentation to catch up. So, the first document in the financial update is the SB 740 report for the school. So, as of January 2026, projected P280A for OFL William S. Hart is 1,269.39. Based upon the projected P280A, revenue has been forecasted to be $20,244,374. Moving on to expenses, first, you have the certificate salaries and benefits subtotal at $9,442,735, or 46.64% of revenue. And then the instruction and related services, which includes certificate salaries and benefits just above, at $17,755,934, or 87.71% of revenue. The next two subtotals are your non-instructional expenses. First is the operation facilities at $849,238, then the administration and all our activities at $1,116,248. Just below that, highlighted in light orange, is the GAAP excess revenue. So that's your total revenue minus total expenses. So as it was closed, OFL William S. Hart has projected excess revenue for the year of $522,954, or a 2.58% excess revenue percentage on the year. Page two of the SB 740 report are the need to spend calculations for the school. So highlighted in red, the school is meeting both of its spending requirements for certificate salaries and benefits. It's actually overspent or past that requirement of $1,294,374. Then the instruction related services is overspent by $1,650,217. So since there's no need to spend the excess revenue that was indicated on the previous page, $522,954 is the projected excess revenue for the year. Then before we proceed, are there any questions?
None here.
Next page in the financial update is the income statement for the school. So this is the actuals from year or from July through January. You have your year-to-date totals, comparison to the budget, year-to-date variance, and then the remaining budget of the year. Couple highlights. The total payroll, $9,915,902, or 48.98% of revenue. So it's indicating that the school is spending just under 50% of its revenue on certificate and non-certificate salaries plus the benefits. Total expenses for the year, $19,721,420. Next page will be the variance analysis. So what we do is we take that income statement we just reviewed, take 1% of your year-to-date total expenses, in the case threshold is $136,760, and any line that is in excess of that, positive or favorable or unfavorable, is even better. It's highlighted here. So the one that came up is non-certificated stipends. There is no budget year-to-date. This is actually going to be fixed in the next coming months. It's discovered that the all stipends for all staff are being recorded to this one line item. So we are in the process of splitting those out, and we will include that in the next financial close. So the next document is the balance sheet. Total assets for the school, $25,695,769. Total liabilities are $7,763,922, and total net assets of $17,931,847. School's very financially healthy. The last document is the cash forecast. So the figures highlighted in blue are cash receipts, cash disbursements, and any cash balance. So as of January, OFL Williams started at $13,667,564 cash in bank. At the end of the current fiscal year, the school is expected to have $12,132,333 cash in bank. Also, like to note that there was an investment policy for excess cash that was approved in a previous board meeting. I think it was last year or even before. It was today that the school is finally able to open the account and transfer funds. So the school, it will be transferring, or it did transfer cash to an investment account, and the school is able to use, or the investment account is able to generate interest for the school for the excess cash that it has on hand. So that'll be included in the next financial update. And that is the update. Are there any questions?
Me.
Any questions here? Thanks, Alex. All right, moving on to action items. Item C1, the OFL William S. Hart second interim report. Alex.
So we're asking the board to review and consider approval of the second interim report for OFL William S. Hart. So this is one of several reports that are prepared throughout the year and sent to the district for oversight and review. This report in particular is for actuals through January 31st for the fiscal year. So it closely mirrors the financial update that we just reviewed. So we can go right into it. First page is your certification page. This was certified as positive that the school can meet its financial obligations by Principal Elaine Shapiro on March 10th. And then it was sent out to the district for review by John Carino. So the first page in the interim report, it reports the original budget and the adopted budget, actuals to date, and then breaks out between unrestricted and restricted revenue and expenses. As stated, this is very close. $20,019,134 in total revenue. Certificate salaries for fiscal year 25-26, $8,044,037. The non-certificate staff salaries, $714,840. Total employee benefits for the year, $1,157,017. Books and supplies, $320,678. And then the service and other operating expenditures is pretty much everything that doesn't group above, $9,429,491. The capital outlay, $55,347, is the depreciation expense. So that leaves the excess revenue for this report, $297,716. The next page is a reconciliation of its fund balance. It's taking the balance that was at the unaudited actuals plus any adjustment between audit. The audited fund balance was $12,680,460, which leaves the projected fund balance for the end of the year, $12,978,178. Last two pages are a multi-year projection. It's taking the current year plus year two and three. The year two and three are what was reported at the adopted budget, and then any changes to revenue that could be the COLA or the funding amount. So as stated, no questions were asked from the district. So usually when that happens, they certify as positive as well. So thumbs up to everyone. Are there any questions?
No questions here.
Would you like me to propose a motion?
Yes, please.
Propose a motion to approve the OFL William S. Hart Second Interim Report for fiscal year 2025-2026.
Right. So moved. Can I get a second?
I'll second.
Okay, I have moved and Veronica has seconded. Can I get a roll call vote, Veronica?
A.
Okay, I also vote aye. Item C1, the OFL William S. Hart Second Interim Report is approved. All right, thank you very much again, Alex. All right, moving on to item C2, the OFL William S. Hart Academic Calendar for fiscal year 2026-2027. Maricela.
Thank you. Good afternoon, everyone, again. So if we can scroll to the next page, I'd like to just review the academic calendar that we are proposing. It's hard to believe that we're in the season, but in order for us to start preparing for next year, we're hoping the board will approve the 2026-2027 calendar. So the purpose of the calendar is to assist school leaders in school planning of instructional operations. It also helps with reporting. It outlines school holidays. It helps the schools with plan out events and other related school functions such as sports, senior socials, and other extracurricular activities that we like to plan for our students throughout the year. The holiday calendar dates draw from multiple sources, including the charter school petition, which states that OFL shall be in session for at least 240 instructional days between July 1st and June 30th of each school year. So if we scroll to the next page, you'll see our track calendar, which shows the number of instructional days in each track. Here, you'll see track A begins July 1st, and then you'll see that our final track doesn't end until June 30th. And so we use the track calendar to help us map out the academic calendar that we then turn around and make public facing by way of our handbook and also post on our school website. The calendars apply to all OFL employees. You'll notice if we scroll back to the first page, you'll notice that there's two different distinctions in terms of employees. There's exempt and non-exempt, and we highlight that because there are different provisions that are outlined within the calendar specific to holidays, and so we map that out as well. And if we scroll down a little further, you'll also see, thank you, you'll also see the different holiday dates that school staff and schools observe, along with the actual track calendar itself. So, meaning track A begins July 1st, track B begins July 29th, all the way down to track D, which starts September the 23rd. You may have noticed float weeks. During float weeks, I want to just highlight that schools are still required to remain open to provide school-related services to students and the school community. So we still remain open, but we do have staggered schedules where staff is able to, where exempt staff is able to kind of regroup, get, and it's 2 weeks where they regroup and then get ready to start the new year. But I did want to just highlight that we still remain open, providing services and access to families. The superintendent has reviewed the calendar, the director of schools have reviewed the calendar, and all are in agreement and in approval of the board approving the OFL William S. Hart academic calendar. Does the board have any questions?
None for me.
No questions here.
Would you like me to propose a motion?
Yes, please.
I'd be happy to. So I'd like to propose a motion to approve the OFL William S. Hart academic calendar for fiscal year 2026-2027.
I move to approve.
And I'll second. Veronica has moved. I have seconded. And can I get a roll call vote, Veronica?
Aye.
I also vote aye. Item C2, the OFL William S. Hart Academic Calendar for fiscal year 2026-2027 is approved. All right, thanks again, Marzo.
Sure.
All right, moving on to item C3, the OFL William S. Hart Response to Immigration Enforcement Policy and Procedures. Marzella.
Thank you, Harold. So today, board before you is a copy of the Response to Immigration Enforcement Policy and Procedures, a document. It is a pretty lengthy document, but I'd like to just review it high level and pull out some key elements that you may have already noticed in the actual policy itself. So the policy establishes comprehensive procedures for opportunities for learning William S. Hart's response to immigration enforcement activities that may affect students, families, and employees. The policy affirms the school's commitment to maintaining a safe, inclusive, and disruption-free learning environment while ensuring compliance with California Ed Code and federal student privacy laws. There are many schools throughout the state that are currently adopting similar policies. It is a requirement from the state, and so we are moving to make sure that we are in alignment as well. As outlined in the cover page, you'll see that there's some pieces of Ed Code that the policy speaks specifically to. Those include Education Code 234.7, which is the protections related to immigration enforcement at school sites, Ed Code 49061, which speaks specifically to directory information limitations, Family Code 6550 through 6552, which is specific to caregivers' affidavit. And I'll speak a little bit more about that as well a little later in the presentation. FERPA, Family Educational Rights and Privacy Act, and then also Civil Code 1798.3, which is specific to personal information protections. The policy itself formalizes required procedures for protecting student information, managing campus access, responding to enforcement actions, providing parent notifications, which we also included in the handbook, as previously mentioned, and addressing bullying or harassment related to national origin or immigration status. So some of the key provisions that we included in the policy as required by law was the first being protection of student and family information. So the school is prohibited from collecting information related to citizenship or immigration status unless it's required by law. So when students enroll with us, we are not seeking that information, nor is it a criteria for enrollment. The school is also prohibited from collecting or creating reports based on immigration status, race, ethnicity, religion, or any similar characteristics. And should someone walk into our centers or ask for any of that information, that isn't something that we would be able to produce. It limits collection on Social Security information, and it also requires written parental consent before release of personally identifiable student information without a valid judicial warrant, subpoena, or a court order. You may have noticed at the end of the policy, we also included a couple of examples of what a judicial warrant, subpoena, or a court order may look like. And we thought that was important for us to include in the actual documents that we provided to the board because those are documents that we are using for training as well. So we are preparing our center coordinators and our front office staff to be familiar with the different types of judicial warrants, subpoenas, and/or court orders that we may or may not see. I am happy to report that we have not had any immigration activity reported to date. And so that is good news, but we nonetheless are preparing our school teams to respond should that ever happen and so that our families and our staff feel safe. In terms of information sharing restrictions, the policy outlines that it prohibits voluntary disclosure of student records to immigration enforcement authorities. So we wouldn't just, hand that over should someone come in and ask. It requires that if someone were to come in with a signed subpoena or judicial warrant, that there is a safeguard in place where our superintendent or designee and legal counsel reviews the warrant for its validity. So we just want to make sure that there's checks and balances and that we're not just providing access to that information. So there is a provision that outlines that. It also indicates that the policy requires documentation for all enforcement related requests. So if somebody from immigration enforcement were to come in, of course, our center coordinators will be trained and are trained to ask for badge number, ask for identification, and just verify the validity of the officer coming into the center. It also restricts employers' voluntary consent for employee records or access to non-public areas. And so there is a distinction between public and non-public areas. In the school site itself, that is considered a non-public area. So our classrooms, our offices, our restrooms, our main independent study space, all of that is considered non-public. And so no one would just be able to come in without having the proper documentation. You'll also see campus access protocols. So I'm kind of previewing that by making that statement regarding public area. So it requires all visitors, including immigration enforcement officers, to check in with school staff. It prohibits entry into non-public areas without a valid judicial warrant. It establishes a clear response protocol for administrative warrants, judicial warrants, and subpoenas. It requires staff documentation of all interactions. and parent and governing board notification. So, board, if we were to get some kind of activity where it's confirmed immigration coming on campus and seeking information, the bill and our policy would require us to notify the board in a timely manner. It also requires immediate parental notification if enforcement officers request or gain access to a student unless legally prohibited. And so we embedded that notification in, or that notification requirement in our comprehensive school safety plan that the board's approved in January and have templates prepared should that happen. In terms of student safety and emergency preparedness, it requires schools to allow emergency contact updates at any time. So, if we were to have a student that needs to update their emergency contact information, the schools will work closely with that student to make sure that we have the most up-to-date information. So, if phone numbers, cell phones change, we'll make sure we have the latest and greatest in our student information system. It authorizes the release of students to designated emergency contacts or pursuant to the compliant caregiver's authorization. So, as previously mentioned earlier, in my conversation or in my presentation, the bill required that we update our caregiver's authorization affidavit. And so, we have been working behind the scenes with EDI, our student information system provider, to make sure that we have the most up-to-date caregiver authorization affidavit. And I'd like to report that as of the 20th, which was just 5 days ago, we now have the latest and most updated affidavit ready to be used. It encourages family preparedness planning and outlines anti-bullying and hate crime protections. Our schools already have an anti-bullying policy, and so it just reaffirms our commitment to maintaining an anti-bullying and hate crime-free environment. It requires the posting of the Attorney General's Know Your Rights, Know Your Educational Rights guidance in all required languages, and that's been something that has already been taking place. Huge shout out to the schools for making sure that we have that information posted, not only at the school site level, but also on our school websites. So that has been already completed. We feel that the implementation will be ongoing with training and oversight taking place, and we'll be regularly making sure that our teams feel equipped with and have the tools that they need to be able to respond in a way that makes everyone feel safe and protected. In terms of fiscal impact, we don't anticipate there being a large fiscal impact associated with the approval of this policy. There was small fees associated with the caregiver affidavit update in student information in our student information system, but it was very minimal and is being absorbed with the school's operating budget. I worked closely with our superintendent team, along with our school leadership and legal counsel, in the development of this policy, and are all recommending the board approve the policy before you. I know that was a lot of information, so I'm going to pause and see if the board has any questions.
You answered the only question I had about the training for staff, but it seems you took care of that. So thank you.
Thank you. And we'll continue
yep.
to visit it.
Very, very professionally done so far. Thank you.
Thank you, Harold. I appreciate that feedback. And it's definitely been a team effort. So kudos to everyone involved in and leaning into this, because it's uncomfortable work, but it's important work nonetheless.
Excellent.
Would the board like me to propose a motion?
Yes.
I'd be happy to. So I'd like to make a motion to approve the OFL William S. Hart Response to Immigration Enforcement Policy and Procedures to ensure compliance with California law and to formally adopt uniform procedures herein, protecting student privacy, school safety, and the continuity of instruction, and grant the superintendent or designee the authority to make modifications to the policy and or procedures to align with any legislative changes.
All right, so moved. Can I get a second?
Yeah, I'll second.
All right, I have moved and Veronica has seconded. Can I get a roll call vote, Veronica?
Aye.
I also vote aye. Item C3, the OFL William S. Hart Response to Immigration Enforcement Policy and Procedures is approved.
Thank you.
All right, before we adjourn for the afternoon, I would like to welcome Veronica to our meeting. This is her first OFL William S. Hart meeting that she's attended, and it's really great to have a third board member on this board. So welcome.
Thank you, and it was relatively painless.
Yes. Very good. All right, is there anything else that we want to go ahead and bring up before we leave, Veronica? Are there comments?
Not on my end. Thank you everyone for being so professional and so thorough.
Very good. All right. If there's no other questions, can I get a motion to adjourn the meeting?
Motion to adjourn.
Okay, I'll second. Veronica has moved and I have seconded. Can I get a roll call vote? Veronica.
Aye.
I also vote aye. The meeting, the William S. Hart, OFL William S. Hart meeting is adjourned at 4:07 p.m. All right, thanks everybody for coming on.
Thank you.